guys, when you're out there drinking tequila, you got a lot of choices. But let me tell you about the one that I go for when I drink tequila. I go for Amorada tequila. Made in a small family-owned distillery in Mexico, as it should be, and made with only 100% Weber Blue Agave and nothing else, every bottle of Amorada tequila is handcrafted, hand-blasted, hand-capped, and hand-labeled. Absolutely delicious tequila to drink by the glass. Go to AmoradaTequila.com to find out where to get it. That's Amorada Tequila.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving and a great Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe you had the weekend off and you got to go do stuff and run around and all that kind of stuff. Get to be with people you love. Maybe you traveled. I did. I went to Houston on Wednesday morning. I did the podcast, the intro for Friday's show earlier in the week last week. So that's why I'm filling you in on my Thanksgiving. I went to Houston on Wednesday morning. And spent the day making food with my aunt Olga, my grandmother, and we had a really good time together, just hanging out. My aunt Christina, my uncle Chuck came later on that evening, and we hung out some more. We had a really good time. And then Thursday we made all the Thanksgiving stuff. Family was around. That night, my cousin Amy asked my cousin Emily and I to be her son Samuel's godparents. So I'm going to have another godson here whenever that happens. He's a baby, so we're starting from scratch. I have another godson. He's 35 now, so I'm out of the clear. He doesn't have to live here, unless he wants to. He's still my buddy. We hang out. I just saw him a couple weeks ago. Anyway, it was a good Thanksgiving. Then Friday, got up, and anyway, I played with Skyrocket in Houston at Fitzgerald's on Friday. It was good. It was a good weekend all around, a laid-back weekend. The family thing, always intense with my family. You know, there's some illness going on with some members of the family right now. So that's kind of intense, but there's a certain intensity to my family, which I'm sure there are to all families. And when all the personalities are together in one thing, like in the soup, it's just intense. There's a lot of electricity. There's certain people aren't fans of being there, and they let you know by their actions. That's kind of a bummer, you know. Luckily, they're not around that long, but you know that's always the thing with family. It's just a strange sort of thing, and you're connected. You're stuck, no matter how weird it gets. You know, your family. Anyway, it was great seeing my family, and I love going there. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. They're beautiful people. Thanksgiving, American style. Speaking of American style, American roots music band Light Horse Harry are my guests on the show today. Their second album, San Pedro, comes out December 8th. You can check it out. You can hear their two new singles from the album, which are available now, Sunny Side Up and Lemonade. Go to lighthorseharry.com. Find out all about them. They're doing a record release show on December 8th at Spider House Ballroom, celebrating the release of their sophomore album, San Pedro. All right, these guys are great, great band, great dudes. We had a great conversation. They've been playing this residency for a long time on 6th Street, and we talked about that for a while. We talked about first band names. We talked about how they've been together. They've been friends since they were little kids, and they grew up in Dallas, and then they moved down here, started this band, and now they're doing it full time. A couple of them are doing it full time. Light Horse Harry, great conversation. Coming up in just a second. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I just want to let you guys know that you can subscribe to this podcast on anywhere where you get podcasts. The Apple Podcast app, the iPhone Podcast app, the Android Podcast app, Stitcher, TuneIn. Basically anywhere where you find podcasts, you can find How Did I Get Here. You will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday where I have conversations with musicians. You can also like our Facebook page where I do post all of the podcasts. I post links to them on there. I post photos with me and the guests on there. And you can share them on social media, just like our Facebook page. It's called How Did I Get Here. Like it, Share it with everyone. That's how we spread the word on this show, all right? We don't have any advertising. We just kind of like let you guys do the spreading of the word. So if you're a fan of Light Horse Harry or you're a member of Light Horse Harry, be sure you share this on social media with the hashtag HowDidIGetHerePod. Like our Facebook page. Make sure it's in there. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. But mostly like our Facebook page and subscribe to our podcast, all right? Thank you so much. Let's get to this conversation with the gentleman from Light Horse Harry, whose sophomore album, San Pedro, comes out December 8th. They will be celebrating with a record release show that same day, December 8th, at Spider House Ballroom. Go to Light Horse Harry to hear their singles, Sunny Side Up and Lemonade, which are out now. So enjoy my conversation with these dudes, Light Horse Harry. Let's get down. Let me ask you this: where did you record this record? And by the way, I didn't get a copy of the record. I've only heard the two singles that the regular people are hearing.
We gotta change the regular.
Yeah, we need to get that in your hands.
For sure. Man, I'm not regular. That's why I'm wearing this jacket. San Pedro is the name of the album.
Yes,
and it comes out December 8th.
Yep.
The day after the day that will live in infamy. Right. It's December 7th.
This is going to be the day that lives in infamy, actually.
The new it'll one. Replace the old one.
We need a new one. You know, it's a new millennium. We need a new day of infamy. Scoot up just a little bit more. Zach, right?
Yeah.
All right. And so, wait, so you're Drew.
Yes.
And you're Gus.
Gus.
Yeah, I know you're from Austin Music Foundation.
Yeah.
All right, so where did you record San Pedro?
I'll take that. Bizarre. So, we recorded it in the back studio of Jeff Hoskins, and he's the, you know him?
Yeah.
Yeah, the sound engineer at the Cactus.
Yeah.
And so, I met him, and later...
He's the dude from the Flying Saucers to me.
Oh, yeah. He's... Yeah. He tried to explain his, like, thousands of bands he was in.
Flying Saucers.
Space rock bands.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, we recorded at Jeff's home studio. He's got like a little back house that he's converted into a studio with a ton of like cool vintage gear and
how cool
everything you need to make an album. So yeah, he let us do it there for real cheap. And so the stipulation though is that he's actually starting to go blind. I'm not sure if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Some of his like retinas, I'm not sure. I can't really speak to the actual thing that's going on, but yeah, his eyesight's starting to go.
Oh man, so, that's bad news.
Yeah, but in a way it kind of makes his hearing a little better, I like to think. So
what's the stipulation
that we want? Well, I mean, it just, the whole process kind of took a little longer, I would say.
Oh, right. Okay.
Just because of,
it's hard for him to see.
Yeah, just like the day-to-day things, like,
that's, you know, awful. I didn't know that.
Wrong stuff and whatnot, but we got it done.
But yeah. I mean, he knows what he's doing, so yeah. We were just helped him out with being the eyes on certain things. But
sure. I hope he's able to get somebody in there to do it. I bet he's a great engineer. He's always cool.
Yeah, and we had help from, he's got an apprentice, Ryan Knight.
All right.
Who's in a band called Nightlock, and he kind of helps him out with a lot of the technical stuff.
And Ryan Knight is a great name. That's like a superhero guy name.
Good stage name.
Yeah. Ryan Knight. Starring Ryan Knight. As the Doomsman. Is that a good superhero name?
The Doomsman.
Why are you guys called Light Horse Harry? That's a good question.
Well, it's kind of a...
I just complimented myself.
I'm kind of a history nerd, so we were in high school in Dallas, and I just heard about him. And he was basically in the Revolutionary War. He was a cavalry general, and he just went through marauding and all these battles against the British. But he became a national hero. But then he went bankrupt, lost all the fortune, the family fortune, everything. So he was kind of like a tragic hero. So
that's a good. I don't remember ever hearing about Light Horse Harry. So that's good.
It's kind of like Washington's right hand man. But
really?
We don't really have any. It just sounded like a cool name, so.
Yeah, it is a good name.
And he's also the father of Robert E. Lee.
And oh, so really?
Just like, yeah. But they had a falling out because he lost the family fortune, so all of a sudden their name wasn't really any good anymore. So.
Oh, wow. Wait, Robert E. Lee?
Oh, no, his father.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Are you guys? So you guys are all from Dallas.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And you started. The three of you guys started the band in Dallas.
Yeah. Back that's in
where
high
you.
School.
That's what back in high school, and that's when you made your first record.
All the way back in high school, right. In my back house, we all.
So you guys still? You're still in college?
Oh, we actually all just graduated this past May. Yeah.
So you went college. Okay, so something because this is your second record.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you waited until college was done to put the next record out.
Well,
we tried to put it out in college.
We basically spent college doing co-op shows, Sixth Street residences, things like that. But we were doing school full time. So when we finally graduated, we started doing it full time. That's why we were able to get this album out, and we're really starting to like work at.
Were you playing original music on the Sixth Street?
Oh yeah.
You were doing what you do now, Light Horse Harry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the three of you guys then?
There were four of us. We have a drummer too, but he could,
He could
sometimes a fiddle player.
Sometimes a fiddle player. Yeah, there's fiddle on the record.
Yeah.
On the singles.
Yeah, this girl named Catherine Drake would, she used to play with us, but now she is going to school in New York.
Oh, wow.
Pursuing pedagogy, which is the.
What the hell is that?
Is the.
Teaching music.
Yeah.
Oh,
the study of teaching music.
I thought pedagogy. It was pedagogy. Sounds like some kind of like god of feet.
Yeah,
pedagogy.
You know what I said? Like,
it sounds a little dirty. Like
it's it's weird. all right. So you guys started in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you? How old were you guys when you met?
Oh, that gets even weirder.
Let's get weird.
Because he and I went to elementary school together.
That's Zach and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
for the listeners.
Gus and I went to preschool together, but we didn't know each other until high school. So there's a cross paths at some weird points in our lives.
What part of Dallas did you guys all live in the same kind of neighborhood?
Yeah, East Dallas.
Yeah, we're all like within like 5 minutes of each other in Dallas.
What's East Dallas? What do you mean?
Lakewood, like north of Deep Ellum.
Yeah,
north of Fair Park and Deep Ellum.
Right by White Rock Lake.
Did you guys used to play opening bell?
Yeah, we have
opening bell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it seems like you would have played there. I like that place. What's that lady's name? It's some kind of foreign name. Isn't it? Sharaymana. Sharaymana. her name's actually a song. Okay, so you guys were friends younger, and then what you all just kind of like in high school, what was going on? Were you guys outcasts of some sort?
Me and Drew were actually in a band with our first drummer. We did like
classic rock cover band.
Yeah,
like
60s
cool.
songs and whatnot. And then we started jamming with Gus like midway through high school.
What?
And
just real quick, because you get an idea of what someone's like. What classic rock 60s covers? Because you could either do plain ones or you could have been real cool and done like some weird shit.
We like, did a lot of Hendrix.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Cream.
Okay, I see what you did.
Yeah, and then we do like Can't Explain. We did Mind Generation usually every set. Some Yardbirds.
That's what I'm saying. See? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we opened the set with the Yardbirds every single show ever.
What, the For Your Love or something?
No, actually, Deep
Over Under.
Yeah, Over Under, Sideways Down.
Oh, see, you guys were cool. You were doing some shit that was
music
a little...
Music dorks in sixth grade.
That's pretty... So that was a band in sixth grade?
Yeah.
What were you called? What was the name, for God's sake?
I had multiple... we were the Lonesome Gnomes for a while.
The Lonesome Gnomes?
The Sporkmen for a while. Yeah, we didn't take ourselves too seriously.
No, that's great. I love that. I love the Sporkman.
Yep.
That's a great name. Okay, so
and then we ran into Gus.
What were
we talking about the Great Earth Experiment?
Yeah, I had my own little kind of duo group going on with another guy in high school. We played a lot of like folksy, like rootsy, almost bluegrassy kind of stuff. I mean, I wouldn't call it bluegrass because we weren't like that good at it yet, but
right.
Yeah, we called ourselves the Great Earth Experiment, and
we
there's this guy at our high school, a teacher at our high school, who had published his own book called the Great Earth Experiment. It was just this. Could you expand on the book?
Wasn't a sci-fi doomsday kind of.
It's a sci-fi masterpiece. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, amazing! Yeah. And amazing. So,
and we thought it was a great name, and we just kind of...
So there was the Sporkmen on one end, one end of the high school, and then right. We have this bluegrass band. And then after they've been playing for a while, they asked me to come in on bass. So then I started playing with that band, too. And then one of the guys in that band graduated, so then we kind of figured these are the musicians left in the school, so let's throw it all together and stir it up a little. And
right.
Yeah, and that's when we started recording Light Horse Area's first album. And
so you were in high school when you recorded that record?
Yeah.
Where did you record when you were in high school?
In my back house.
Well, you guys are young. They had Pro Tools and shit.
I was using Pro Tools LE, and I was watching a bunch of YouTube videos, just figuring out how to mix and whatnot. I mean, the record doesn't sound too great, but I'm still kind of proud of it, you know?
Do you guys still play songs from it?
Yeah,
a few songs. Yeah. Not all of them, but a few.
So let me ask you this. If you're in high school together and you have this band, and you still have it, when it's time to go to college, did you guys conspire to stay together, or?
Yeah, I think that was always the plan. Since I went to college first...
Yeah, Gus is in the grade above.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I was down at UT, and all these
guys... you got to come down here.
Right? And no, they would come down and play shows, like a few weeks out of the year.
Yeah, we would come down and play co-ops and...
co-op parties and that.
Holy shit, yeah, we were convinced after that.
It was great. Like, I wasn't sure I was even going to go to UT, and then he brought us down there to play some shows. So.
Tell me about co-op parties in the new millennium. I've been lamenting them, because I used to go, and I played a few, man.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Our very first co-op show. Remember our very first 21st Street show? It was our first show in Austin. You guys were still in high school.
21st Street co-op?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get to playing, and the girl running the soundboard, after each song, she'd turn off the soundboard and be like, you guys have to take off an article of clothing now. We're performing in front of all these people and slowly,
talk about hashtag me too. That's the workplace. Sorry, go ahead.
And so, by the end of the set, we're, pretty much butt-ass naked. And there's even, a few girls running around topless. And this one chick, ran up to me and she's like, "You're going to touch my tits." And I was like, "I don't know."
What? And that just sounds like a scene out of a movie that I used to see on HBO after midnight on Saturday when I was in junior high. Okay, for those of you that are listening, there are these co-ops here in Austin, if you don't know, that they're in the area of the campus where there's dorms, and there's also, it's just the area of the campus, it's West Campus, they're all kind of over, there's a Pearl Street co-op, and basically, I don't know who the hell lives in these things, but you go to these parties,
Well, not at those particular ones.
But you know what I'm talking about. It's like the nonconformist people that aren't into authority dorm or fraternity for them to be in. All their friends are there, but everyone's smoking weed, throwing parties. And so at those parties, they would have several bands. They get together, maybe get a keg. You got the red cups, and you're young.
Classic.
And everyone's young. I mean, I'm 49, so now I'm telling you, when I look back on this shit now, I'm just like, oh, God. It was so cool when it was going down. In my world, I'm glad that it still happened. So what's a new... that's insane. Now there... I mean, there was... I don't remember people asking me to squeeze their naked boobs.
Yeah.
At a show. I would have never left and still live at the co-op.
And we were in high school, so...
Yeah, it was a really great, first show in Austin. I think that really set
was
the...
Yeah, I guess
so. That was our first show in Austin. It really... kind of set the bar.
Set the tone.
Yeah.
I can imagine you guys coming back and being like, oh, this is we got to get down there. This is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. And your parents are like, how was it? You're like, oh, it was good.
That was YouTube. What
happened?
The only
school. Oh, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Only school I applied to.
So. Really?
Same. Yeah.
So then you guys, what did you study?
I studied American Studies, was my major, and I got minors in theater and music.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Look at you. That's good. Did you do theater stuff?
Yeah, I did. Well, me and Gus Andrew, I guess, we all did kind of theater stuff in high school. It was pretty big at our high school, and so I thought I would do
like,
it
what
here.
Were you in plays or in music part?
Yeah,
or
plays
what do you do?
And musicals.
I just play the music.
True, play
I'm distancing myself from the theater.
There's a stigma that goes, it's a different world than rock and roll.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're more rehearsed.
Yeah. Wait, you said we're more rehearsed?
I said, oh, it's a little more rehearsed.
Yeah. So then you guys move to Austin and Gus, you guys get the band together. You go and play some gigs on 6th Street or something?
Yeah, we started getting...
How did that, what places and what was going on?
Well, so we showed up to Austin and we realized that we needed to start playing 6th Street shows, but none of us were 21 yet. So the first order of business was we all got fake IDs with the band fund money so that we could be able to play shows at the bars downtown. Yeah. And
we're responsible. We're trying to get
I love
get
it.
A job.
Like that's a, hey, you're not trying to do fake IDs for nefarious purposes. You're trying to get a job, man.
Exactly.
From that point forward, we were all from like South Carolina or something. And then we got our first residency at B.D. Riley's Irish Pub, which we still have.
We still play there.
And we're going to play there tonight, actually. Yeah. And so that's been...
How does that... Is it a good... Do people come there to see you? Like, is it a lot of tourists you find?
Definitely a lot of tourists.
A lot of tourists. Yeah, it's right across from the Driscoll, which
is pretty
nice.
Cool because you guys are playing a kind of music that, like, someone that comes to Austin from somewhere is like, oh, they're doing the thing. There's a fiddle in the, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
We've had a few Irish guys in kilts yelling at us, because we don't know any Irish songs.
Well, you think by now, after all this time doing that thing, you would learn at least something.
You'd think,
Stick to our guns.
Oh, Danny boy. Yeah, you could do that kind of. Yeah, look at you. See, you just do that.
I know it,
Get him to shut up. Okay, so how is does it, like, being young guys playing at B.D. Riley's, like, you're actually underage. Were you ever in situations that were beyond your level of maturity where you had to, like, sort of act like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, well, I'm sure when those girls were like, hey, squeeze my boobs at that thing, there was a part of you that was, like, shitting in your pants. You're like, oh, my God, like, this is beyond my... I don't live in a world where this happens. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a kid at school.
Well, I feel like the two opposites are that those co-op parties were more of that kind of like, oh, wow, what? This world is way different. But the 6th Street shows were more of the us trying to learn the business side of things.
Right. But I mean, I'd imagine at some points you guys were like, basically.
Yeah, it was like, how do we got to learn
kids,
this on the fly?
Like, you know, 18 year old kids or even seven. Like, how old were you when you came here?
Oh, I don't know.
18?
18, yeah.
Yeah, these are 18-year-old kids dealing with, like, grown people business.
I mean, I don't remember, like, any kind of really bad sticky situations. I do remember this one guy charging the stage and getting on the mic and, like, cussing out the bartenders.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
I couldn't understand what he was saying, so I just sat there with a grin on my face, like, waiting for him to leave. And literally the whole bar's looking just, like, in horror. And I'm just sitting there with a smile because I'm not even listening to the guy, and he's just screaming at the bartenders.
We had a great one last year on 6th Street, too, where throughout, I think it was one set, we had an Elvis impersonator and a guy with a shit emoji mask on both get dragged off the stage by security. In one 45-minute set.
That is awesome. That's great. When you play, so it's four of you guys when you play.
Yeah.
Okay. And you travel all together in one van or something? Do you do that when you travel?
Don't have a van yet, but yeah, we go up to Dallas and just like surrounding.
We've had a lot of different band vehicles these past 5 years. Now we kind of have, we got like Light Horse Harry North and Light Horse Harry South. Horse Harry South travels in one car to the gig and Light Horse Harry North.
We all lived at a place we called The Compound in college, which was these 300-year-old houses on this lot in West Campus. So we were all kind of living in the same area at that time. So it's easier to get to gigs. But since we graduated, we're kind of like a little split up, like location-wise throughout the city. So And so we're not all going in one car. We're usually like having two cars and going. Okay. Yeah.
And that's actually where the name of our new album comes from, is the compound. We were
on
San Pedro Street.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. That's cool when you all live together. Do you miss that?
Yeah, we had a good.
There's something cool about like that hard day's night, or like help, or like monkeys, or like some kind of shit where you saw when you were a kid and you were like, yeah, I'm gonna live with my friends, just only speaking inside jokes that nobody else understands. Like, that's one of my favorite things about being in a band, is kind of the gang thing, and no one understands you.
Yeah.
But you guys understand each other without speaking. I'm sure by now you guys have this kind of thing where you. Is this guy just out here proving that he's got a motorcycle? Or hey, I'm ruining podcasts just riding around the parking lot. I had to have the windows open because it's so nice.
It's nice.
It's all right. It's not ruining anything. It's just some background noise.
But yeah, we had some awful inside jokes due to that, I'd say, because we've got... We didn't have cable or anything. We had that, like, TV antenna. So we had this... We only got, like, four channels, and one of them was in this awful vintage game show channel.
Oh, yeah.
Awful. So, pretty wonderful... So we'd watch these game shows, and then we have all the characters memorized, and we'd quote them and stuff throughout our adventures in Austin. Of course, nobody else knows what the hell we're talking about.
So. What game shows were you watching? Like Match Game or
something?
Match
Games, yeah. Gene Rayburn.
That was cool when people used to go on TV drunk. You know what I mean? That was pretty cool. Like, that was the thing, like, in the 60s and 70s where people, like, just were drunk. Like, they were drunk on TV.
We watched some interviews about it, and they all have these glasses up. They always ask for, like, oh, I need a water or whatever. But in the interviews off screen, they're like, oh, yeah, we were all just, it was just vodka the whole time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, not cool, but it's good to know.
It's good to know.
It's good to see people.
Entertainment for some retirement homes.
Well, there's a lot. There's podcasts that, like, I've been on where it's a, you know what I mean? Like, you go there and they, like, you drink. It's part of the thing. You know what I mean? You get drunk, and then it's not like that.
What do you bring us here?
I know. Sorry. I've done it a couple times with people who have brought booze.
Oh.
Like, as a gift.
We have some smoothies.
But... Yeah. Oh, from the soup peddler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You guys are all about Austin. So, okay, so you got, I'm trying to figure out how you stayed together through college, because there's a lot going on, and you were playing a regular weekly show, and then also playing other shows.
Mm-hmm.
What was your degree in?
Business marketing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And yours was in?
I was in radio, television, film.
Right on. That's three things that you guys all can help each other. I'm serious.
Yeah.
That was smart. Did you do it like that? Were you like, hey, you do this?
Assigned majors in the band.
All right, guys, we'll split up.
How did you like the radio, television, and film? That's a famous...
I really liked it. Yeah. I'm not as much of a technical kind of guy. I like more of the ideas that go into, like, or kind of like producing or organizing the film, or how do you put it together? I'm more interested in that kind of stuff.
I just did my first job. You know that video that they showed the other day? You were there, weren't you, at the...
At
the show, you guys were there. Did you see the video?
I don't...
There was a video they showed. It was the beginning, and then they showed it again in the middle. In essence, my role in that was producing. Like, I got all the people together. I got all the questions together. I knew how it was going to flow. There was a cameraman and a director who also edited. But I was kind of the person
organizing.
And then the guy that directed it said, man, you're really good at this. I'm going to start a movie. Would you want to do this? And then I thought, I don't know. I don't know if that's really what I like, because it's like herding cats. And then stuff went wrong. Like, they lost some footage. And then from then on, the job was just basically like to keep it alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like triage. It wasn't like actually but I imagine as a producer, that's what your job is. Is like, you go in and you have all this idea of what you're going to do, and then something goes wrong, and then you just have to spend the rest of the time holding the thing together. Yeah. Seems like it. Did you ever watch The Kid Stays in the Picture?
No.
About Robert Evans?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so great. You should watch it. World's greatest movie producer. Just ask him. He's amazing. he did like Rosemary's Baby, The Godfather, Chinatown.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out how you guys kept it together through college with all the stuff that you were doing. You through all 4 years, you guys had that residency. So you guys have had that residency for almost 5 years?
Yeah.
That's cool as shit, man.
2014.
Well, that and then what? Else, and then Blind Pig, and there's a few others that we played a lot on 6th Street.
We've been playing at BD's longer than a lot of the employees been working there.
Yeah.
They've since made another BD Riley's in Mueller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's where I've seen that. Do they have music there?
No, they don't. But it looks pretty much exactly the same. It's pretty cool.
So you play to a lot of tourists. Do you sell a lot of CDs that way? Because they're like, oh, we're going to take this back to our son in Iowa. Who
right.
That wants We've had a lot of that. Or bluegrass guy.
Yeah.
Also, Gus, how the hell did you get into bluegrass in high school? Like, that's kind of a weird yeah. direction to go. It's like, hey, I'm going to be a classical pianist or something. It's like just a weird kind of.
So I have some friends up in Colorado. I used to live up in Colorado, and my family goes up there quite a bit. And the whole music scene's a little bit different. I mean, as with anywhere you go. And a lot of my friends up there are into, like, the Dead and, a lot of, like, jammy stuff, including bluegrass and, like, bluegrass bands that, like, jam on the Dead. And so that was, like, my first introduction to it. And I just thought it was really stupid at first. I didn't like it. But then they kept playing it around me. I ended up going to some shows, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And started listening to it. And
were you already playing?
Yeah, I was playing.
What were you into?
What
was going on?
Kind of like the same stuff as these guys. Just
Yardbirds.
Yeah, classic rock. I remember there was
Yardbird deep cuts.
I had a big reggae phase for a minute.
Oh yeah.
I thought I wanted to be in a reggae band.
And when that hits you in high school, it hits you pretty hard.
Yeah.
I remember there was a phase like for a year where half the songs I wrote were reggae.
And then Led Zeppelin probably is.
No. I was never Led Zeppelin.
Oh, really?
They were more like The Fix or like Duran Duran or Tom Petty and the Birds. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah, we got to have your reggae phase, get that out of the way, and glad that didn't stick around. But,
It's good. It's really good, though, right? I mean, am I weird? Because I gotta get down with some reggae right now. Yeah. But when it comes on and I'm out of place, I'm like, oh yeah, why am I not listening to this when I'm, you know, cleaning the house?
I love reggae, but I think the way I was trying to approach it as like a white
high school dude white in kid Colorado. In high school.
Yeah, like, oh man, like I'm gonna be so cool. Like,
well, it's interesting, you know, are you guys fans of the Dallas scene? Are you guys familiar with the history of that Dallas music scene?
Yeah, Deep Elm, all that.
Like, yeah, are you guys like Edie Brickell and New Bohemians?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of fans. My friend Kyle, my bandmate and friend, is producing their new album.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He, in fact, had to take a couple of days off of our shows last week because she was coming in to do some vocals. It's pretty cool.
Wow, yeah.
But they jam. And there was a prevalent Dead scene up there and like a real muso scene because of the North Texas affiliation and like bands like them and Ten Hands and guys that went to school up there are also like big in that jam world. Did you guys do shows with like the Band of Heathens or anything like that?
Oh, I've seen them, but
do you see yourselves as kind of like a kin to that,
yeah,
like a cousin kind of band to that band?
Southern rock, jammy, but less, yeah, more like the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, like
I'd
Band
say.
Of Heathens, old 97s are a big influence.
Are they?
Yeah, sound. I'd say out of Dallas bands, yeah.
Yeah, I like those guys. They're really nice. Yeah, and good, and they're good. There's something fast about their stuff. I think that's why I never connected with bluegrass, because it's so fast.
Kind of punky.
It's almost like speed metal in a way.
Absolutely.
Because it's not like punky in that it's real sharp and very precise, and like seems like you got to learn a bunch of stuff before you play it. And, like, that's a cool, like, when I came into music, like, I was attracted to those things. Like, I was just talking to the guy that's producing my new record yesterday about, like, there's a thing, like Tom Petty, I gravitated to him because there's, like, the chords you know. You know what I mean? Like, G and D, A minor, stuff that you can relate to. You could learn a whole Tom Petty record, like, when I was a kid in a day, you know? Anyway, sorry. It just seemed like bluegrass was almost like having to be like a heavy metal, like, you have to learn how to shred.
A lot of noodling around.
Yeah,
not even so much noodling, but shredding. Like, you have to be badass and fast.
Yeah, I'm always trying to get better. I've been watching a bunch of like fiddle tune videos recently, and just not like playing the fiddle, but like mandolin songs for like a fiddle tune, and trying to get my.
You play mandolin live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not on everything.
Mostly on everything.
Really?
On the new record, yeah, you're mandolin every song, I believe.
Cool.
Cool.
Me? Okay, all right. I'm sorry. That was very Colorado.
Yeah. But Gus actually just, he only picked up the mandolin right once he got to college.
Yeah.
A week ago.
Yeah, like a week ago. I didn't know what it was. Yeah, like I ordered one online when I was a freshman in college. And
guitar. Yeah,
took a couple lessons up at Fiddler's Green.
Yeah.
And should probably go back for more. But... yeah.
Did you guys play the cactus when you were going to school there? Is that how you met Hoskins?
No, we actually... weird. So I got a job working as the doorman there.
Oh, yeah?
So for the past 2 years, I was just working the door.
That's where I've seen you.
Okay. All right. I've stamped your hand, then.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I was like, I know this guy from somewhere since the moment you walked in, but I didn't want you to... feel weird since I was talking about being naked when you walked in.
All right.
Remember? Yeah, that was so weird. Okay, I'm sorry.
But yeah, so I worked at the Cactus and I met him through that, and somebody had told me that he's got a badass studio, so I went up to him and said, you know, like, hey, my band's looking to record a new album. And the funny thing was, he saw me from like coming from across the room, and when I asked him that, he goes, I knew you were going to tell me that. And I was like, that's Cosmic Jeff. And he was like, yeah, we're going to make this album. I was like, all right.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And we did.
Then you did. So you didn't really play the Cactus then. Because it seems like there's like a world you guys belong in.
We have played the Cactus
though. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But there's like a sorry, you were going to say something. I don't want to interrupt you. I just totally did. That was so rude of me.
I just wanted to... clarify that.
Okay.
We played music.
Okay.
All right.
But it seems like there's a world that you actually belong in, and I don't mean any rudeness to Sixth Street or anything like that. There's like a world of like Americana where like it seems like you guys should have like a weekly show at the Continental Club Gallery or something. Once again, no.
Yeah, I feel like if it was open, we'd be aiming for the Armadillo World Headquarters. But
yeah, totally.
That's kind
totally,
of like our scene, but it doesn't exist.
It doesn't, but it does in those places. It does, yeah. Continental Club's an old place. I mean, I played there when I was a teenager. And that was in the fucking 80s.
Yeah, we do set, we kind of like those Sixth Street shows are our wallpaper money shows. And then we'll do other, like we're doing the Sahara Lounge in a couple weeks. We do Hole in the Wall a lot.
Right.
So we do some of those dive bar kind
of. Seems like Hole in the Wall would be a good place too.
Yeah, we've played there quite a bit.
And if you're just four guys, you could fit in that front. There's something that happens in that front room, man. Like I've played all the places, like Moody Theater, the fucking 310, like all the good places, all the bad places. As funky as that front room is at Hole in the Wall, I've had some of my most transcendent musical experiences making music on that stage with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Where I couldn't hear my voice when I was singing because the monitors weren't loud enough. But it was still it was still like magic. The place, some places have magic, you know? That place has it.
Yeah, we've had some pretty great shows there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that room has the people in it and the vibe is going, it's so relaxed that it's like everyone's in it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty great. Anyway, so where else do you play?
Right now?
Well, our album release show is at Spider House.
Yeah, Spider House. That's a great
December
place.
December the 8th.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. Record release, Spider House, December the 8th. Who else is playing with you?
Got the Wilkinson Quartet and the Rotten Mangoes.
Wow. Who are the Rotten Mangoes? That is a very non-appealing name, I have to say.
They're kind of like a same scene that we were in.
Oh, really?
Earlier, that West Campus kind of co-op scene, but they do more along the like psychedelic garage.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Rock kind of side.
Because playing the kind of music that you do and calling yourselves the Rotten Mangoes is just a very bad business decision. Light Horse Harry is a good name for what you do. because you don't have much of an attachment to it, but it has enough of a flow to it that when you hear your music, it kind of even has that. So you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feels good to say.
Thank you.
I like to think we're faking out people too, that they think it's one person named Harry.
right.
Yeah, who's Harry?
And then they come and see us.
What? That's true. I like. Yeah, you guys. Yeah. Who do you write songs together, or do you primarily write the songs, Gus, or what's going on here?
Zach writes some songs, and I write a lot of songs, and sometimes we come together, like I'll come to Drew or come to both Drew and Zach and with an idea, and really there's a lot of songwriting going along in all directions.
Yeah. Our new album features like plenty of songs that are written by just Gus, plenty of songs that are written by just me, and then a few that are written by like the whole band collectively.
That's so awesome.
Really, yeah, just kind of whatever works.
I bet you guys, since you've been doing this so much together and you've kind of formed your musicality together, like you've grown up together, yeah. You know, you formed as musicians together. I bet that the creative process is probably pretty, you don't have to think a lot about it now. You know, you don't have to tell them like, dude, that sounds like a metal riff. We're not gonna, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to do that kind of weird shit anymore.
What do you guys think?
I think we just take it one song at a time, really, and like Gus will like bring an idea to the four or the three of us, and like we'll, you know, listen to all that he's worked out, and we'll say, oh, like maybe that could use like a bridge there to like deviate from that, or like I don't know, it's just really like organic with each song. And a lot of our songs, especially on this new album, aren't really in line with each other genre-wise. So, like, you just kind of really have to let each song grow on its own.
I noticed that the two singles, they have kind of different sort of, not different instrumentation, but the instrumentation that's featured is different. Like, one of them has, like, almost like a Sweet Home Alabama electric guitar kind of thing. And then the other one was a little more straight-up acoustic sounding.
Yeah.
There you go. You don't have to elaborate on that.
Yeah. You called it.
What else? So you guys do a host of shows. You're going to start doing Wednesdays in Dallas.
Yes, in December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, December at Sundown at the Granada.
Sundown. Do you do well in Dallas? Do you get a lot of the old gang that used to come see Light Horse Harry at the...
Yeah, we do pretty well in Dallas. Like, since we don't go up there as often, the shows that we do play there, we get a good crowd to come out and see us.
No, it'd be good to get up there and be playing like every week when you put a record out, just to kind of like,
yeah.
What do you do when you do that? Like, do you change stuff up a lot every week, or what? I mean, do you have so many songs that you just kind of like? How long are those shows? I imagine those BD Riley shows got
to
be like
three to four. Hours.
Might be playing a couple songs twice.
Yeah, our repertoire is over like
probably
the past
five,
few
six
years.
Hours, maybe.
Yeah. And there's a lot of songs that like we've played for like, you know, a few months, and then we kind of put them on the wayside, and like,
sure.
You know, those really aren't working out for the band. So
do you have to play cover songs?
Oh yeah. Play lots. Of, we don't have to, but we
How many Stevie Ray Vaughan songs do you guys know?
Zero.
Zero? What do you do when people ask me? I'm sure people got it. Like, hey, I'm here. I saw the statue this afternoon on my Segway ride, and I wanted to...
Well, the band next door plays Jimmy or Steve Ray Vaughan. Yeah.
They usually ask for Wagon Wheel.
Someone else was in here that plays Sixth Street, and that was like a big joke in their band, and I was like, what the hell is Wagon Wheel? And they're like, you don't know what that is? They're like, everybody asked for it. And I was like, that is weird.
Especially on the fraternity circuit.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the Ryan Adams song.
No, the Old Crow Medicine Show one.
Yeah, I don't know it.
And there's someone, it's like co-written by Bob Dylan, or he wrote the verses or the chorus.
Or Bob Dylan like never finished the song or something. Old Crow finished it off.
What's so great about this song?
I don't know.
I don't think I went and listened to it after the last podcast. What's the name of it? I gotta write this down.
Wagon Wheel.
Well, what it was some Nashville country guy did a cover of it a few years ago, and that became a hit, and then I feel like it's been around ever since then.
Isn't that weird that people have like a thing? What else do they request down there? Because that's what I want to know. Do you guys
we get some really funny ones sometimes that aren't
dick move.
What's that? Freebird? Of course, yeah.
Every show.
Yeah, I know.
Every now and then, some George Jones.
Do you ever break down and go like, dude, you don't even know? Like, there's a guy that's you every day at this show.
Yeah.
Saying the same fucking thing. Like, you're the least original person.
Week.
Yeah, you're terrible. You're a horrible person. Go home and don't go out until you stop saying stupid things.
We get some funny ones. Someone yelled Toby Keith recently, but we're completely serious.
I'm sure that would happen. So what else do you know George Jones songs?
A couple, a few songs.
Willie? Dude, you got to throw Willie in there.
Oh,
Jesus,
yeah. I think we know
Hank
more
Williams,
Willie songs than anything
Buddy
else.
Holly.
Oh, nice. What Buddy Holly do you?
We do Not Fade Away.
Nice.
And we've been working on Maybe Baby, but we haven't played that.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've been working on an Everly Brothers song.
Yeah.
I love that part. Everly Brothers is good. Nice close harmonies. Yeah. What Everly Brothers scene do you do?
Gone, Gone, Gone. Or we've been working on that yesterday. So.
Is it harder to work up stuff now that you don't live together? Or do you have a dedicated time that now when you get together, you just really work?
Well, he and I live together, so we're usually playing on the couch at least some hours a day. So.
Okay.
And our drummer actually never lived with us at the compound, so he would always have to come in. So we were always kind of a little bit like on his scale. He's the only one of us that actually has a day job. So.
Oh, you guys don't have a day job? That's killer, man. How'd you do that?
I don't know.
What else do you don't do tell. Anything else that's weird?
Sixth Street is the
I guess so, yeah.
Rent money.
Yeah. Well, I heard that a lot of those shows pay really not well.
Yeah, it just depends.
There's some stuff I've talked to some people at AMF up there and some consultations, people that are in them, and they're like, yeah, you know, we
weekends
doing this
are
thing.
Certainly better too.
Yeah.
Just because.
But BD Riley's, they do like their own booking and stuff, and they're
they only do local.
Yeah.
Yeah, they only book local, and they kind of find a roster and then they stick with it. They don't really deviate.
They've had a girl playing the harp on Thursdays for like 15 years.
That's cool, man. It's good to know that you can. I mean, that's a this is a profession, and we got to work. You know what I mean? It's good to know that there's people out there that give their people jobs, and you guys seem like people.
BD's has been super supportive.
Yeah, they've been good. Like, I can see how it'd be hard to make money on a lot of the bars on 6th Street, but I think BD's is pretty great to us in a sense that, like...
They welcome us. They treat us kinda like
and there's,
family. Nice.
There's always a crowd in there that's willing to shell out some money, like the tourists and whatnot, so that's where we get a lot of the money from.
And more so people listen to us at BD Riley's. There's a lot of those bars on 6th Street that people just go in to get sloshed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so,
like, well, I'll be honest, actually, man. Walking down there sometimes, it's not very often that I go down there, but when I do, and it's like that onslaught of the same thing.
Yeah. Steve Ray Vaughan.
It's just like this different versions of three-piece bands with, like, just not good. It just felt bad. Three people in the thing, same amount of people in the thing as in the band. There's 25 bars, and there's just something weird about it that you're like, you're hoping that somebody that goes out and plays some happy hour is going to make some bread, you know? So that's my two cents.
I think it's kind of, sometimes those shows can be pretty rough on 6th Street, but it's also... I think allowed us to kind of cut our teeth as a live band too.
Oh, of course.
We've gotten so many like if we're doing that three times a week, you know, that's a 3-hour practice basically every time. So
yeah, and also like there's that thing that happens like you can rehearse so many times, but I don't know how many rehearsals equals one gig.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. In terms of how much better you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird. I feel like it might be 5 or 6 rehearsals because like you can rehearse for like 2 months. And then go out and play one gig, and you're like infinitely better than you were before you took that gig. Yeah.
You're in a different place. Nervous or whatever.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because you came of age. Well, you were obviously of age when you were doing these shows at first. What happened when you all of a sudden turned 21 and you showed up at BD Riley's, not from South Carolina anymore?
Well, I think at that point they'd stopped, like, you know, IDing.
Carding you. Okay. So, anyway. Yeah. Wait, was there ever a time like you discovered like, oh, I'm at a bar for 4 hours, or maybe, you know, look, you've been doing this gig now for like 8 months and it's like every week and you're like, fuck, I'm just going to have a shot before the thing. And then you kind of start getting off the thing. And then all of a sudden, like the other guys in the band are like, dude, you gotta stop drinking before we play. Because that stuff can escalate really fast where you're like, oh, I'll just have a drink while I'm sitting here. Because there's a lot of just sitting there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think, like, the amount of shows we've done there has allowed us to kind of like find that.
Yeah, because I mean, sometimes it is fun to have a couple drinks during a show, loosen up, especially you're playing for fucking 4 hours. You know?
I don't think any of us has gotten like
crazy.
We just kind of hold each other in check and mutual responsibility.
For also, the show. Like, it's not just you. It's like some of those tours, like, oh, you get them all shots. You know, I'm gonna get them all shots. There's like the big spender guy. Yeah,
that's true. Honestly,
yeah. There's like the guy that wants all of the people that he's with to think that he's the guy because you guys, you know what I mean. I hate those guys. Even though they do buy you drinks, they drive me nuts.
Someone bought me a shot for my hand once.
Oh, yeah, Drew.
Oh, my God.
Tore up his hand.
I tore my hand playing one night, and someone bought me a shot to dip my fingers.
Oh, that's nice.
So that was...
So you're playing so much, you're tearing up your hands.
Yeah.
That's great for you, though, man. That's what you should be doing at that age. You know what I mean? Like, the Beatles went to Hamburg.
Yeah.
They used to play 8 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, BD Riley's is kind of like our cavern club, I like to think.
Yeah. P.D. Riley. That's our...
The Cavern Club.
It's our Cavern Club, man. Come on down. It's across the street from the Driscoll. If you get too drunk, just get yourself a room, mate.
Yeah.
Or get yourself a room, comma, mate. That's the way I said that. I just came out like roommate.
Edit in post.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a, hey, Dave, let's stake that out. Put in a comma. Get one of those English things of me from another podcast saying the exact same thing. So what else is, so you're going to put out this record, you have a lot of dates on the calendar, are you going to hit the road at all? Like, in a, don't come back for like a week or something or two?
That's the idea.
Yeah, yeah. Hoping to do that in 2018, probably spring, summer, probably at the earliest.
Okay.
We were really starting to do that coming out of the summer when we moved to our new house and all that and gotten settled down. We started playing in a lot of different, we're playing in Bryan. We did San Marcos a few times, back up to Dallas, and like different times. We played in like Fisher, Texas. So, but then leading up to this album, we're trying to get that ready. So we're taking it easy right now. And then once that's out, we're going to start getting out of town more.
Yeah. Because, you know, the thing about, the one thing is this region, like our location regionally is great because there's markets. There's three huge markets, like the Dallas. I mean, Dallas has like a couple markets in it. You know what I mean? You could play a couple sides of Dallas. You could play San Antonio, Houston. And then with the style of music that you guys play, you are welcome to play these smaller towns like a Bryan. You'd be more welcome than like Jeff Hoskins, Space Rock Band or something.
Yeah. Well, we did Georgetown a week or two ago, and we had a lot of fun out there.
So. Yeah? That's good.
Yeah.
So are you guys handling like the release of your album all yourselves, or do you have some kind of help?
It's pretty much all just, us.
Yeah. Who do you divide up the jobs, or like what do you trying? Is someone like, obviously you set up the podcast, so you're setting up stuff. You did radio. Are you guys trying to get one of those Wednesdays at Wero's with Sun Radio or something? Or
yeah, we're just now kind of starting to get, like, we're just released these singles, so we're trying to get out to radio within these next couple weeks before the album comes out. And like just other market, you know, Chronicle and publications like that.
Yeah, we really divide up the business aspects of it.
That's good. Who handles booking?
It's kind of a mix.
Joint between like me and Chris.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And what does that leave you?
I do some of the booking, and then I do all the graphics, things like that on Illustrator. So.
Okay, that's cool. Then you guys designed your own website and everything. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah, Squarespace or whatever. I think we need to get an upgrade, but you know,
designs itself.
A lot of people use Squarespace.
Yeah.
.com. Do you find that a website's even? I mean, it's useful for me, who's about to talk to you guys, and I need to get up to speed on your shit. But what do you think about websites? Do you think people need a website as much as they once did?
Well, I think it's good to have, like, all your material in one centralized location.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, show dates there, too.
Sure.
You know, and something for, like, the booking agent or whatever you're talking to, like, all your press stuff and everything.
Okay, yeah.
Like, all consolidated.
So you do need it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just taking a survey. Anything else I'm missing? Light Horse Harry guys? Gus, Drew, and Zach? What's the other guy's name?
Shane.
Sugar Shane.
Dirty Shane.
Shane. Whoa, Dirty Shane. Dirty Shane and Sugar Shane. Definitely, like, knowing that those are both of them. So that's he's why like we didn't the bring ladies him man. Here. Is he the ladies man of the band? Are any of you guys, you guys have girlfriends?
Zach's got a girlfriend.
Zach? Oh, is that mm-hmm. who you live with?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
But.
is she a musician?
No, she is not, actually. She doesn't know a lick of music.
Okay. So, is that good? Do you find that helpful?
Yes, actually. Strangely.
Does she go to a lot of the gigs?
She does. She's one of our main supporters, for sure.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have t-shirts and stuff? Did you bring me one?
Oh, we didn't. Oh, man. But
we've got plenty.
Probably some stickers if you want.
Yeah. I got some cookies from my girlfriend I can give you them.
Really?
Yeah.
You bring
my bag.
Some.
I'll get you some.
Are they like Colorado cookies?
Chocolate chip.
Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. I can dream. Yeah, I got to shoot a cooking show. I might as well have psychedelic cookies beforehand.
Yeah.
It's just on YouTube. It's not like the cooking channel, obviously. I mean, do you guys eat well? Like, are you guys that
moderately well?
He's a good eater. Well, you cook a lot.
He makes garlic bread a lot. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, he's a big old cook.
I did a smoked turkey a day or two ago.
Really? Well, see, yeah, you get into it. But I just meant, like, health-wise. Oh. Like, you guys like McDonald's half the time or, like...
Well, Soup Peddler is just down the street.
Yeah, Soup Peddler is pretty nice. That's not
El Primo Tacos down the street.
Yeah. It's a good town.
Made some gumbo yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're a guy that... You should be on our cooking show.
Well, our roommate made it.
So, oh, okay.
But we kind of take turns, so...
All right. I like gumbo.
Yeah,
I also like smoked turkeys. Any plans for Thanksgiving? You're going to Dallas?
Yeah. I think all of us.
Yep.
All of you. And then you got a gig there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lakewood Brewing Co. on the 24th, 25th.
Yeah. I think this will be out next week sometime.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I think so. I'm pretty sure. It'll be out definitely before the 8th.
Okay.
Cool.
So people get out there and pick up the second album by Light Horse Harry. It's called San Pedro. Available December 8th. You can hear their singles Sunny Side Up and Lemonade. They're out now. You can go to lighthorseharry.com and hear them there. That's a centralized location. Find out where they're playing. Find out some pictures of them. Maybe they got some nudes of Zach up there. I don't know. They're from Dallas. Their first record in 5 years.
Yeah. Long time coming.
Yeah. And if you live in Dallas, which we have some Dallas folks... Now listen to the show. Be sure you get out there in December on Wednesdays. They will be at the Sundown at Granada. What time are those shows?
Those would be LA, 10 o'clock.
All right. Yeah, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock. That's not bad, man. Get out there. See Light Horse Harry. Have a bite to eat. Some cocktails. Maybe meet some friends up there. Yeah. And the CD release or the album release show is December 8th here in Austin, Texas at Spider House Ballroom. Thanks for doing the show. You guys are also quiet and you're just staring at me. I'm like, are we
done? Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you for having us. It's been a hoot and a half.
Yeah, you guys are very cool. It's been good talking to you. What was the name of that first band again?
The Sporkmen.
Long live the Sporkmen.
We'll come back as the Sporkmen.
Yeah.
Wait for that one.
If you guys ever see the Sporkmen around town, you know I stole your name.
Soap around doing dabs all day, saying right on cool, that's rad. It takes one to know one, though. It takes two to tango.
All right, that's Light Horse Harry. Their second album, San Pedro, comes out December 8th. their single Sunny Side Up, which is what you were just hearing right now, and their other single Lemonade, which you will hear in just a second, are out now. Their record release is December 8th at Spider House Ballroom. Get out there and see them. Find them at lighthorseharry.com. Hear the songs. Find out when they're playing. Find out how else you can get involved. And hey, when you're out there checking out lighthorseharry.com and you're looking them up on Facebook and stuff, don't forget that you can like our Facebook page. How did I get here? You'll see a photo of me and the members of Light Horse Harry right here in my home. All right? So like our Facebook page, subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, on your iPhone podcast app, on the Android podcast app, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, anywhere you find podcasts, you will find How Did I Get Here. You will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. So subscribe, all right? You can go to our howdidigethere.podbean.com page, and you can scroll through and literally go through all the 640-whatever episodes are up there. Enjoy conversations with hundreds of artists, all right? Hope you enjoyed this show with Light Horse Harry. I enjoyed my conversation with the guys. Go to lighthorseharry.com for all your Light Horse Harry needs. Let's hear their song, Lemonade, which is out now, coming from their new album, San Pedro, out December 8th. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
Are cracked, yeah, I'm sitting by the pool. Lord, that sun is beating down, man, it's drying up my drool out of the corner of my eye. What do I see? Your mama with some lemonade, and she's walking right to me. Oh boy, I just can't wait. She's strutting down the line my way. I'm a big old heap of sweat, boy, you can go ahead and bet I'ma need some of mama's gold ice cold lemonade. I saw your mama squeezing up them lemons. They were nice and big and round. Yep, that juice was shooting all right. There was citrus all around. She squeezed, she squoze. My eyes got big and wide, getting me all riled up until she finally stepped outside. Oh boy, I just can't wait. She's strutting down the line my way. I'm a big old heap of sweat, boy, go ahead and bet I'ma need some of mama's gold ice cold. Yo mama walks up, she's holding up a tray and handing me a big old cup of that ice cold lemonade. And so I puckered up my lips, took me a little sip, and Lord my God, that stuff sent me on a trip. Oh boy, I just can't wait. She's strutting down the line my way. I'm a big old heap of sweat, boy, you can go ahead and bet I'ma need some of mama's gold ice cold lemonade. Don't like pudding pops, no, I don't like bubble gum. I'm just crazy for the lemons, baby, now hold the give me some. I don't need no water, and don't put me in the shade. And just fix me up a gallon of your mama's lemonade. Oh boy, I just can't wait. She's strutting down the line my way. I'm a big old heap of sweat, boy, you can go ahead and bet I'ma need some of